you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Boy, the heat is on. And no, I'm not talking about the Glenn Frey song. Though I could understand why you'd think that, since I'm a DJ. Well, a former DJ, I guess. I'm a talk show host now. And I'm not talking about the weather either. But you do have to admit, it's been a little bit warmer than we expect it to be this time of year, hasn't it? Heck, by October, we should have at least turned on the heater once or twice overnight. I don't think we have at my house, have you? You know, it kind of makes me think there might be something to all this talk about global warming after all. Our good friend Alfred Froberg down at Froberg's Farm in Alvin, they used to be a sponsor, he once told me he didn't necessarily think it was any hotter than it's ever been, but he thought it stayed hot longer than it used to when we were young. And to be honest, I think he might be onto something there. And Alfred Froberg spends a lot of time outdoors because, well, he's a farmer, for crying out loud. My goodness, how did I get off on that? I started out by saying the heat is on, and by that I meant the heat is on me. The old email bag is filling up with comments from you, the listeners, who are taking me to task about a major oversight in last week's show. And this one sums it up pretty well. Randy, how can you claim to be a proud veteran of the U.S. Army and never even mention Veterans Day on Veterans Day? You are absolutely correct. And that was a major oversight on my part. No excuses. I just messed up. I should have saluted our veterans, but I got so wrapped up in trying to be cute and funny that I completely missed it. Now, in my defense, I did realize it after the fact. I mean, I got home and I was hanging my American flag on the front of the house, and that's when it hit me. I hadn't even mentioned Veterans Day on the air. I am so sorry. Maybe I can make up for it. I have a story that came to mind. I come from a long line of veterans. My dad was in the Army during World War II, and his dad was also in the Army during World War I. I don't know about my great-grandfather. Nobody ever talked about him very much. But suffice to say, my family history in the military is long and proud. My father loved to tell me the story of when he left for basic training in early 1942. He was getting on a train in Fort Worth, and his father, my grandfather, had driven him to the train station. As they were saying goodbye and shaking hands, Grandpa wasn't one to give out hugs very often, but as they were saying goodbye, Grandpa grabbed my dad by both shoulders, looked him squarely in the eye, and said, "It's a great adventure, son. Don't miss a thing." Dad served as the NCOIC, that's non-commissioned officer in charge, as in sergeant. He was the NCOIC of General George Patton's Metal Shop. That's the unit that repaired tanks and armored personnel carriers and other vehicles in the 2nd Armored Division. My father arrived in Casablanca, that's in Morocco, and followed Patton through North Africa and Sicily, and then he went on into Italy, France, and eventually Germany when the war ended. He came home a master sergeant, and then he joined the Army Reserves. He spent 30 more years in the Army as a chief warrant officer, a criminal investigator. But when my grandfather picked him up at the train station back in 1946 when he got back from World War II, the first words my dad said to Grandpa were, "I didn't miss a thing." So fast forward now, 33 years, to November 1969. I got drafted into the Army during the height of the Vietnam War, and my parents were seeing me off to basic training at Love Field in Dallas. As we were saying our final goodbyes, my father grabbed me by both shoulders, looked me squarely in the eye, and said, It's a great adventure, son. Don't miss a thing. The irony of that moment was not lost on me, and I'll admit, I teared up a little bit. I'm kind of tearing up a little bit right now. 2 years later, I was coming back from Korea, and I called home in advance, and I asked my dad to wear his uniform to the airport when he and my mom came to pick me up. As I walked off the plane, I hugged my mother first, but then I turned to my dad, I saluted him, and I said, I didn't miss a thing. This time, my dad teared up a little bit, and we walked arm in arm out of the airport. So, belated Happy Veterans Day to all the heroes who were able to come home to their families like I was able to come home to mine. But we should make a distinction here. Veterans Day is not a day to honor our war dead. We should do that every day, but that's technically Memorial Day. Veterans Day is a day to salute the men and women who are still with us, the people who sacrificed, each in their own special way, to help keep us safe and free. And I admit, I greatly regret not taking the time to tell that story on last weekend's show when it would have been so much more timely. But let's move on now to today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Thanksgiving is just a few days away, and my wife Cindy kind of snapped to that fact day before yesterday, and she immediately started stressing out about everything she had to do to get ready for the big meal. It's very different indeed from 1977, when she and I had just moved to San Francisco, literally 2 or 3 days before Thanksgiving. I had just taken a new job as the morning host on KYA, the oldest rock station on the West Coast, and we were living in an apartment that the radio station had provided for us, you know, while we were looking for a permanent place to stay. We didn't know any of the people that worked at my new job, and none of them asked us to come to their home for Thanksgiving dinner, so Cindy and I were kind of on our own. We found a little corner restaurant in San Francisco that was open on the holiday, and we walked in and asked if they were serving turkey and dressing. There was a very nice lady at the front desk, and she said, yes, indeed, they had turkey and dressing on the menu for that day, and she started to take us to a table. I'll admit, I wasn't very worldly wise back in those days. I was in my 20s, and I remember discreetly asking her under my breath, do you accept traveler's checks? Because that was all we had. We didn't even have a credit card back then. She looked at me with a smile and said, of course we do, sir. Happy Thanksgiving. You know, I have no recollection of the food or the service, but I do remember the name of that restaurant, the Daily Grill. It was just a simple little neighborhood restaurant, nothing special. But that day, it was home away from home for two kids from the South who were embarking on another great adventure. And the hospitality and the gracious attitude of that woman at the front desk is something that I will always try to never forget. The Thanksgiving dinners of my childhood are filled with great memories, great food. My maternal grandmother was a great cook, and she spent days, yes, days, preparing on an old-fashioned wood-burning stove. No, I'm not exaggerating. She didn't get a modern electric or gas stove, I don't remember which one it was, until I was about, 7 or 8 years old. But I can clearly recall how absolutely thrilled she was when my mother and my uncle gave it to her. By the way, if you'd like to hear a great story about one of those Thanksgiving dinners, just visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com, click on podcasts, and go back to episode 20, Let's Talk Turkey. So, let's talk turkey. What could possibly be more appropriate this time of year? There are so many different ways to prepare the most popular entree for Thanksgiving dinner, aren't there? I mean, when I was a kid, my grandmother and then my mother and father after her and now my wife, they all roasted turkeys for years. But now, at-home chefs have a lot more options. We can fry a turkey Cajun style. We can smoke a turkey on the backyard grill. There are all kinds of methods for burning the bird. And we're going to talk about those techniques and a few others today, so stick around. It's a great adventure. Don't miss a thing.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Here's a guy we've tried to get on the show for quite a while now. His name is Dominic Mendola. He owns and operates the iconic Ragin' Cajun restaurant. It's good to finally speak to you, Dominic.
Yes, sir.
A bit of history now. When I first arrived in Houston back in 1980, my old partner on the Hudson and Harrigan show, Fred Olson, introduced me to Ray Hayes Cajun Po' Boys, which eventually became the Ragin' Cajun. So tell us that story.
So my dad had a chance to go to college at the University of Southwest Louisiana, worked at a po' boy place called French Quarter Po' Boys, and he was the manager. He got his degree. He came back to Houston, and the first thing he did is with his brother, Frankie B. Mandola, they opened up Mandola's Warehouse Liquors in 1972. And in 1974, next door to the liquor store, they opened up Ray Hayes Cajun Po' Boys.
Your dad, your uncle, and I have known each other for years. Yeah. We dreamed up a bunch of wild, wild promotions for the Ragin' Cajun. But I also have to mention another Frank. Frank Messina was a good friend of mine, too. He ran the original location of Ragin' Cajun for many years. He is truly the essence of the term Crazy Cajun. If anybody's ever met Frank Messina, they will forever remember Frank Messina. How's he doing?
Frank is doing great. He lives in Lake Arthur, Louisiana. He would be the guy walking around every day in the crawfish pants.
Yeah.
Those were his signature pants. Everybody knew who Frank was.
And he didn't need a microphone to announce that your order was ready.
That's right. So many people say, man, I used to go into the Ragin' Cajun on Richmond, and that crazy guy in the back used to, you know, yell at me from the, there'd be a line to the door, and he'd be like, you know, hey, Fred, you know, Fred's gonna get the shrimp po' boy and the gumbo today, you know. And that's why we're still there on Richmond Avenue. All those years of just being, acting like family, you know.
And when we visited your website, Dominic, one of the first things that popped up was a banner that said, order your holiday bird. What was the phrase you used a minute ago?
Bird is the word right now.
Well, tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. So in 2006, we started doing some. By 2008, we had over 300 birds coming at us. And we said, okay. It went from having fun to an operation. You had to have staff. You had to work on Thanksgiving Day. It got a little bit bigger than we wanted to. Now we have to pre-do them. This year we did 1,800 birds, so they've been a hit ever since, and we're going to do 1,800 birds this year, Cajun-style turkeys.
Well, that brings up the topic of today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, frying your turkey for Thanksgiving dinner. And a lot of our listeners are at-home amateur chefs, and they enjoy the cooking process and prefer to do it themselves. So let's get into the details of how you fry turkeys Cajun-style at Ragin' Cajun. Start with the way you prep the turkey. Do you brine? Do you baste? Do you rub? How do you do it?
We rub. You always want to use a thawed bird. The turkeys we use are 9 to 11 pounds, and those feed about 12 to 15 people. We've done some bigger birds, but that's the size I like. They're easier to maintain, they're easier to work with, and they fry better. I use a seasoning that we use in-house. One of the great seasonings is Slap Your Mama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get the yellow one or you can get the red one, the hotter one. And we take the birds, and you want to make sure you rub it pretty good. I mean, we take our birds seriously. We like it hot. You with me? Especially when I'm doing them. So I rub it and make sure there's seasoning on every inch of that bird. And then we eject them, too, because I want to make sure that the seasoning gets cooked in there. Because when you're frying them, sometimes when you're moving them around or the spice could fall off, or when you put it in the oil, some of the spice is going to come off the bird. And you can definitely go online and get yourself the pot, the whole cooking, what you need, the pot, the burner, the injector. Hell, some even come with seasonings. So we inject it and we add some, I mix it with a butter blend. Everybody likes butter.
Oh, yeah.
And it keeps the turkey moist, too, okay? So my big thing is we do it in the morning, and then we put them back in the cooler, let them sit for a little while. I don't just shoot them up and stick them directly in the oil. And remember, whatever you think is spicy, go ahead and do maybe twice that. You know, get it good in there. Get it good. Don't be scared to put the seasoning on there. You with me?
Okay.
So for a single bird at a 9 to 11 pounds, you should always want to use a 30 to 40 quart pot. Because that's what we've done. The other ones are, a 30-quart pot's about a 7.5-gallon pot, and a 40-quart pot's a 10-gallon stock pot. So being in the restaurant business, we have big pots. Some of y'all might not at home, so y'all could use, you know, a 30-quart, which is 7.5-gallon pot. We do peanut oil. Anybody, I guess, could use any oil they want, but we feel peanut oil has the best flavor out there. Okay, and remember, we only do this once a year, so you might as well get all the flavor we can, right?
Absolutely.
There you go. There, yeah. And I use roughly about 3 gallons of peanut oil in there. At home, I always do this outside for safety. I do them outside when we're cooking a lot of them. And when we're cooking them in the restaurant, obviously we have all the gear to do them here. But since we're talking to your guests, I would say most of these guys in Houston are going to cook them outside. So you're going to have your burner. You're going to have your propane tank. You're going to have your 30 to 40 quart stock pot. You're going to fill it up with 3 gallons of oil. Then you're going to get that up to 350 degrees.
Okay.
And you don't want to go higher than 350. If you got your oil at 450, you're going to burn the outside of it. Even at 400, you're watching your temp. I know people are rushing sometimes, but try to take your time and let's go 350 on the oil. Okay? So once your oil gets hot, it's time to put the bird in. Now, you don't just want to drop the bird in there. I've got these rubber gloves that cover my hands, kind of go up to my elbows to where I can literally set the bird in there very calm, because you don't want to drop it. You don't want to be scared. That oil is hot, but you never want that oil to splash back and hit you, right? Because that'll burn you. So I always go breast up for some reason. It's just how I am. I lower it in as calmly as I can. It takes about, and on average, it's about 3.5 minutes per pound.
Okay.
So some people are going to do 15-pound birds, some are going to do 20-pound birds. And on a 9 to 11-pound bird, we're usually running 35 minutes.
Got it.
Some of these will have the basket inside you can buy.
Sure.
That'll help you pull it out. If you don't have that, you can always use like a barbecue fork or your barbecue tools to help you get a grip on it. You know, I'd have a table next to you, and I would have something where you can pop it out with your tools and set it down next to you, and you can look at the bird, and then I would use a thermometer. And I'm liking 175 on degrees. Internal temperature, I try to go 170. I usually pull them at 170, 175, because they're so hot. It will continue to cook a little bit while it's sitting there. And if it's not up to par yet, put it back in there and just watch it. But I wouldn't go over 45 minutes on a 9 to 11-pound bird, because you don't want it too hard on the outside, and you don't want to dry it out. If you overcook it, you will dry it out. And remember, we've got all that butter and flavor in that bird, and we want it succulent on the inside and crispy on the outside.
There you have it, a fried turkey, Cajun style, from Ragin' Cajun.
Come on now.
And Dominic Mandola. We finally got him on the show. What are your locations, Dominic?
Our Ragin' Cajun West Chess is 9600 Westheimer, Suite 80. And then the original is 4302 Richmond Avenue.
And what's your website, Dominic?
Ragin-Cajun.com.
Got any social media?
We've got Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Thanks for taking the time. Say hello to your dad and your uncle for me. And if you talk to Frank Messina, tell him hey for me too.
You got it. And y'all have a great holiday season. And remember one thing.
What?
Bird is the word.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're always pleased to visit with our good friend and sponsor, I might add, Jared Poffenberger of Belleville Meat Market. Good to talk to you again, Jared.
Hey, good to talk to you too, Randy.
First of all, tell Marcus how much we enjoyed hosting him on the show the last couple of times. We especially loved hearing about his hunting trips to Alaska. I would be interested to know about that stalking grizzly bear. Is that now a Poffenberger family legend?
You know, I haven't heard much about this. Maybe you can tell me about it. He runs off to Alaska right before deer season. We try to keep things held down here at the plant, and then we hear about stories sort of from other people. He doesn't talk much about them, so I'd like to know a little bit more about them myself.
Well, this may be a myth in the making. So while we're on the subject of hunting, how's the new processing plant working out at Belleville Meat Market?
Oh, it's going great. It's going great. We're seeing some really nice numbers in hunters coming in and dropping off wild game, lots of whitetail, lots of exotics, and we couldn't be more pleased as far as how the plant is running.
Well, tell us what your meat, your way means at Belleville Meat Market.
You bet. So with our processing, our wild game processing, and any custom processing for that matter, we process every single order individually. We realize that a lot of plants and a lot of companies will say that, but we actually do that. When you bring your order in, since we are processing each order individually per customer, we can do whatever the customer wants to do with their meat. If you say you want a smoked sausage with green onions and jalapeno cheese, it's your meat. You can have it your way. You bet. We can make it that way. We don't just make three different varieties of our smoked sausage and everyone gets it the same way. You can have it however you like.
And a lot of times people talk about rifle season, they think about deer, but it's also turkey season through January 21st. How many turkeys do you guys process?
What we do with turkeys, as far as the ones that we sell online and the ones that we retail here at our retail store, we process or prepare the first couple batches will be at 200 or so a piece. And then as we get closer to Christmas, if we need to bring in some more, we certainly do.
So do wild game turkeys make good Thanksgiving dinners, or is the quality and consistency of the meat different from the farm-raised turkeys that we buy in our local grocery stores?
They're going to be a little bit different. I mean, you have to imagine a free-range, free-foraging turkey in the wild isn't going to be quite as quite as selected for the attributes that the consumer likes to have, as far as like a big meaty bird that we carve on for Thanksgiving. So they're going to be a little bit different. Of course, the flavor could be a little bit different as well, since they're not just going to be on a strict diet for growing muscle and such, but you could end up with quite a nice turkey that you take in the wild.
And speaking of turkeys, other than me, of course, cooking turkeys for Thanksgiving dinner is the subject of today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, and anybody who's visited Belleville Meat Market knows all about your top-notch smokehouse, but for those who haven't, fill us in.
Yes, we do utilize commercial smokehouses, which allows us to get a lot of product done at one time per batch. But we do still smoke with natural pecan wood logs. So unlike most smokehouses or most companies that are using commercial ovens who are burning wood chips or sawdust and they more or less smolder the wood to create the smoke, we're actually using natural pecan wood logs, which creates quite a different flavor profile. Quite frankly, one that we've had for the last 37 years that we've been in business.
So that brings us around to the topic of today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, cooking turkeys for Thanksgiving dinner. There are so many different ways you can cook a turkey. You can roast it, you can deep fat fry it. There are lots of others. But one of the most popular techniques is smoking a turkey. So how many people ask you to smoke their Thanksgiving dinner turkeys for them?
Quite a few. We have customers that will ask us if they can bring in a turkey for us to smoke, and we try to accommodate as much as we can. But when we're smoking one at a time with the equipment we have, it's just hard to smoke such small quantities. We are coming right off the our Austin County Fair season, where we have a lot of turkey exhibitors that have leftover turkeys, and we're smoking those for them for Thanksgiving. At the same time, of course, we're smoking all of our retail and online sales smoked turkeys for our customers.
So you provide the turkeys for customers. Do they ever bring the turkey to you, maybe one they've bagged themselves?
Sure. They sure do. They bring them to us, like ones that are, let's say you have your deer hunter that takes one in the wild. They'll bring them to us to smoke, or like I said, we'll have county fair turkeys or family exhibitors that'll bring us their leftover turkeys, and we'll smoke those for them as well.
Well, let me ask you this, Jared. Do you get better results with a certain size of turkey, or are there some that are too big or too small?
What we like to do, Randy, is we'll use an 18 to 20 pound turkey to start with, fresh. So when we get this guy in, he weighs 18 to 20 pounds, And we'll take that turkey and we'll dry rub it and baste it and smoke it for about 8 hours. And when it comes out, after it's completely cooled down, it's weighing about 11 to 12 pounds, which we feel is a good size for a Thanksgiving table to serve about 15 people.
So lots of our listeners are going to want to smoke their own turkey for Thanksgiving dinner at home. Let's talk about those techniques that you guys use at Belleville Meat Market Smokehouse. Start by explaining how you prepare the bird. You mentioned a rub. Do you guys brine or baste or anything like that?
Sure. So we don't brine, although brining is a popular way of preparing meats these days. But what we do is we use a dry rub. Oh, it's our poultry rub. So we'll dry rub the turkey. We'll put them on the rack. We'll roll them into the smokehouse. And if you're smoking your turkey at home, we like to say smoke them at around 200 degrees Fahrenheit until the internal temperature reaches 170 degrees. And that's the temperature at which USDA says that a turkey or poultry, for that matter, is fully cooked.
So how do you recommend we smoke the turkey at home on an outdoor grill? What technique should we use?
So if you're smoking your turkey at home, an outdoor grill is going to be a little bit tricky because of the size of that you have to work with. But if you have a backyard smoker or, you know, barbecue pit that you can have that has a firebox next to it, you can you definitely want to smoke the turkey using indirect heat. Okay, so we want to build the fire. To get your smoker up to about 200 degrees, place your dry rubbed turkey on the pit, and you want to smoke the turkey until you have an internal temperature of about 170 degrees, and that should get you a fully cooked turkey.
Well, let's talk about the fire for just a minute. Do you suggest charcoal, the wood, pellet grilling, and how do those techniques differ?
You bet. So, of course, if you're going to use charcoal, you're going to get most charcoal these days is an oak style charcoal. B&B charcoal is a really nice charcoal that we sell here at the store. And typically at my house, we'll start our smoker with charcoal just because we can get it going quicker. And then once we get the charcoal hot and ready and the coals ready, we'll put our green pecan wood logs on top of the charcoal. And that gives it the extra heat and the extra smoke flavor that we're looking for when we're smoking the turkey or we're smoking anything for that matter.
And some people suggest wet wood. Why would you use wet wood?
Well, we use green pecan wood. And when I say green, we're not talking about firewood grade wood. We're talking about wood that's freshly harvested, and it still has a lot of moisture content to it. I don't know the chemistry behind it, but the smoke carcinogens that are released are quite a bit different than those of a dry pecan wood. So we get a little bit different flavor, a little bit deeper, a little bit heavier pecan wood smoke flavor coming out of the smoke box onto the product.
And we hear all the time, let the meat sit or rest, if you will, for a few minutes after you take it off the grill. Is that a good idea for turkey as well as beef?
We always let our steaks rest or our briskets rest or any type of protein like that. As far as poultry, if I'm not going to carve it right off the pit, we'll typically cool it down right away. And what we believe that you cool it down right away, you preserve the quality, you preserve all the flavor that you put into it, and it locks it in. And then when you reheat it or re-prepare it for a meal, all the flavor, all the quality just comes out of it just like you would expect it to.
This has been our good friend and sponsor, I might add, Jared Poffenberger of Belleville Meat Market, the only place to take your wild game for processing and the perfect place to take your Thanksgiving dinner turkey to get it smoked. Belleville Meat Market is conveniently located just 15 minutes south of Hempstead, 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your wonderful family, Jared. Tell Marcus to keep a sharp eye out for Yogi.
I sure will, Randy. I appreciate you having me.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
It's time to talk to an old friend and Houston broadcasting legend, Don Nelson of Good Morning Houston. Hey, buddy, how you been?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. The word legend is legendary.
Yeah, they only call us legends after they retire us, right?
Yeah, that's it. Old friend, didn't you used to be somebody, you know, the kinds of stuff you hear in a supermarket.
Yeah.
Anyway, how's it going?
Very good. We've waited too long to have you back on the show. Tell us what you've been up to lately.
Well, we're primarily along the Gulf Coast now. We found a little bay house that we've, you know, why buy a nice one? Well, you can buy one that's been totally taken to the ground and then we build it back up.
Yeah, why not?
No, it was nice. And you know what? We really bought a view and then they threw in this house, and so now both are compatible with our life. We're having a great time.
Well, many Houstonians will remember Don and, of course, Jan Glenn from Good Morning Houston.
Sure.
But few know what an avid cook Don was, and I assume still is. He was actually the captain of the Channel 13 barbecue team for the rodeo cook-off, so that'll give you an idea of how much he loves to cook. Where'd you get that passion, Don?
You know, actually, I was a latchkey kid before they had the Turk. Both parents worked back in the, 50s. And so I'd get home from school and, was always saying, let's see what I can make, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the infamous sandwiches were always the thing that my mother brought home a case of steaks one time from this place where she worked at a restaurant. They had given it to her. And I decided that, everybody that I knew needed a steak sandwich. So I cooked them all at once. But that was a timeout that took place. And then when we started going to Good Morning Houston, we booked a lot of chefs, and the interest was there. And I just kind of it's just been there since I was a kid.
Are you a backyard chef or are you a in-the-kitchen cook?
I can do a little bit of both, although as the years go on, I'm more of a pointer. Why don't you do here? Go over here. And my index finger has become my spoon.
So, in other words, you let other people do the work and then you take the credit.
Well, it's already been two or three phone calls regarding Thanksgiving, And it always well, what do we want to do? I said, I would like to point, and what would you like to do?
Well, what are your memories of Thanksgiving dinner from your childhood?
Oh, well, it was always traditional. Everything was standardized. You had the infamous turkey that, no one really knew where it came from, and it was pretty much cooked. Some were juicy, some were dry. The stuffing and I grew up in Pennsylvania, so we didn't have cornbread. We had just bread cubes. And poultry seasoning, onion, celery, that kind of thing. Cranberry sauce, was in a can, and you all got a round slice of it. And dinner rolls, things like that. And if somebody had a pie. When I went west of the Mississippi and came down to Texas, things always got a little more interesting. And, of course, in the last 20 years, you yourself know, boy, cooking has become
a competitive sport.
There's no holds barred, fusion, cross cultures. As a matter of fact, I did an interview with a guy from Shreveport. Went to his house in, I think, Deer Park somewhere. I'm not sure. He'd worked for the oil field or offshore somewhere, and he had this, 24-inch, 12-inch wellhead casing that he'd put a bottom on, made a pot. And he was going to deep-fry a turkey and show me how the Cajuns do it. And I went, holy cow. So he dropped this in there, and the idea of the pot being so high was the fact that it wouldn't boil over. Well, we freaked out. He injected it. He had this big injector, and he used real butter. He made monkey bread, tossed salad, deep fried turkey, and then he had dirty rice. That's another recipe I stole from him that had venison in it. It was on a picnic table outside with loud music, and the whole event took about an hour. It wasn't a year later that they were selling those pots. we've done one in a garbage can where it was kind of like you put it on the ground or on a thing. There's a big fire. You put the garbage can over it, and you surround it with charcoal. And you put charcoal on the top of the can, and you did it that way. It's kind of like
Dutch oven.
Dutch oven. What do they call putting on the dog, those Dutch oven gatherings?
Yeah.
But then immediately we did it on the end. I got a phone call. That's a galvanized can. That's not very healthy. It's got zinc in it. And I'm going, I'm sorry.
I've already eaten it.
So, and then 10 years later, they come out and they said, men need more zinc. And I started thinking, maybe we ought to go back to that turkey. And then remember the whole thing where you cooked it in a bag?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people were putting them in grocery bags, but then you had to have special bags from the special store. Then it was, you can't roast it right side up. You had to turn it upside down. And that way all the juices went into the breasts, which really the ones that dried out first. Oh, brining was, that's about 5 years old now, I guess, or maybe more. Where, it's the whole idea that, putting more moisture into it so that it would be wet and juicy. And, most people do that now, even. A lot of people use buttermilk, just buttermilk suddenly now has become that enzyme or whatever that makes things better. What else? We all inject them. You can, but now, and then I don't know where it is this year. I've kind of lost, last year we deep fried. It was so funny. Here's another good story because you got to pay attention. You're trying to save money. So all of a sudden, Butterball took over the deep fried turkey ones you plug in.
Yeah.
For a while there, they were coming out of China and they were relatively inexpensive, and then they kept climbing up. So now the XL, that's how you get that under $20. Now, instead of just a 15 pound turkey, you can put a 23 in there. And it's a hundred and some dollars. But So when Butterball took over, all the Chinese manufactured kind of ones that came under different names, they dropped those, you know, out of sight. And so I happened to catch a store where they were getting rid of them, and I caught one for $29.
Wow.
That's right. Even if I'm wrong, I'm right, you know, at $29. So deep fried in our family is still the preferential way of doing things, only because we do it outside. It eliminates having to, you know, start at night and go through all that baloney. And then everybody brings a side. And I don't know if you've been to Costco or Sam's or anything. Now you don't even need to do that. Have you seen the sides there this year?
No.
Mashed cauliflower, butternut squash. All the sides are done, and they're all from famous restaurants and blah, blah, blah. And you just go buy a couple of sides and show up, you know.
All of those sound way too healthy for me, Don.
I know. Some people are foodies that, you know, they're going to go from basic ingredients and special mixes. You know, it's all part, it's an art form. The other group is family, where everybody brings what they're famous for. You know, somebody brings a certain kind of pie or dessert, and somebody brings some stuffing in. And then the other group is the ones that would rather sit around, drink a few beers, and make life easy.
Yeah.
You know, then you don't want to find the older folks, you know, putting it in the Barca lounge or snoring, you know, before the football game starts. That's another thing I remember as a child. You know, after the meal, there's like four or five of my uncles, everybody, all looking for space to just spread out, you know, and just, I guess the tryptophan and turkeys killed them all. They made them crazy.
Well, which group does your family fall under?
Oh, well, we're, you know, growing up, very traditional. I mean, Italian, my dad was Swedish, my mother was Italian, and her whole family lifestyle, and she had a lot of family close by, so they sort of were dominant in any choice. In fact, any conversation that went over 5 minutes was declared a meal. So, you know, if you say, wait a minute, are you hungry? Hold on a second. And the refrigerator would open up, and out comes a half of a ham. And now, we did veal, you know, we used to do stuffed rigatonis in one of those big Westinghouse roasters. You know, everybody has one of those. Every bride gets a roaster at her wedding. So that was full of stuffed rigatonis. And we had breaded veal cutlets piled up so a show dog couldn't jump over them. And they'd be, you'd have them three times, and then they would turn into sandwiches. A ham. And then what else do we have for Thanksgiving? Oh, pies. You know, it was ridiculous. Now, the pecans weren't big up there, so we never had pecan pie. But up there, you get coconut cream, banana cream pie, or my favorite, lemon meringue. And my dad was an electrical engineer. He used to sweat copper pipes. So he had a Bunsen torch, you know. And his whole big thing was to meticulously, almost like a surgeon, take the meringue and, you know, brown it with the torch, you know. this big cylinder, you know, you'd find in a tool shed. He's at the kitchen torching the meringue over there.
With a welding mask on, right?
Yeah, that's funny. So I think today, I call this Franken cooking now. I think the younger couples today, although, as I said, there's always going to be the category of interest where they go beyond the norm. The younger people say, well, I call it more of a gather. They'll pick one thing and then they gather the rest of it.
Well, who and where will you celebrate Thanksgiving this year?
Well, we'll probably be down here. I'm not sure. That was one of three conversations. Are we going to do it there? Are we going to do it here? How about here? No, wait a minute. Let's do it there. I will tell you this. Wherever it is, it'll be outside. And it'll be, how many? That's the next question. How many do you think are going to be here? Well, we're not sure because so-and-so's got to go to her parents. And then they may stop by. Somewhere between 8 and 40 is what we're planning for.
Well, give them all our best.
I will.
And thanks for talking turkey with us. Don Nelson, happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Same to you.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up with me.